Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you so much for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and today our guest is Eric Leona. Eric, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Looking forward to talking to you again. This is the third time that you've gotten to be on the podcast, but we're going to do something a little different today because in our ministry, we want to build and revitalize the global church. That's our mission. And we have lots of ways we do that. But one of the things that we really talk about is empowering leaders, talking about what it means to really change lives, change churches, change ministries. So share with us, help us get to know you a little bit and your story. Talk to us about your growing up and your kind of testimony of coming to faith.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me. So yeah, I was born here in Nairobi, Kenya. Kenya is in the east side of Africa. Yeah, so I was born here in 1995. And then that particular time, of course, I'm the fourth born of six. So I was just born in a very remote area. And I was born in the largest slum here in Africa called Kibera. So of course you are just born and then you found yourself in this area where things are really difficult. Things are not, things are not the way maybe you aspire for. So and then you're just born there and then there's nothing else that you can do. Of course you're a child. So in that particular moment, of course, the only hope that most of the people that are born in that area is either you study hard and you maybe you get a good education and you're able to save your family and move them from that area. So that's your only shot that you have. So of course now that was just the same story that I had. Having been born there now, of course, now you just go through public school. And then when I reached almost the seventh grade, the whole year I was not even performing well. The whole 7 years I was not performing well in school. And of course, now to my parents, this was a sign of now this guy will just be like us. He'll just live with us. In this community, maybe you'll probably join a gang or maybe start selling drugs, just because this is a slum area. Everyone wants to survive. So for them, me not performing well in school, it was just a sign of, now this is it. This is it for this guy. But I started just going to school. Of course, we were in school. And then one day, one teacher, he just found me. I was just sitting on next to the school bus. And then he came and then he just told me, I remember this was that you have a lot of potential, but it's just that you have not able to see it. So give me the number of your mom. Let me call her. And then I'll let you know what to do.
By the way, it's always great when our teacher wants to call our mom, right? That's universal, yeah. No matter what country we live in.
Yeah, so, and it was my math teacher. So he called my mom, and then I don't know what they agreed, but when I got home that day, I was told, pack your bags. Tomorrow you're going to live with your math teacher. So, and as you know, universally, also math teachers are not the best, are not the most easy teachers. Yeah. They are very strange and strict. Yes. So that was, I found myself now living with him. He was a single guy. He didn't have any family, so it was just me and him in the house. So his door, his front door, it was just a one-roomed house. So he was sleeping on the bed, I was sleeping down, there was a mattress. So every time we used to put a mattress down. Now the front door it was like almost three-quarter to the ground. So even at night, the amount of cold that used to pass through there, He couldn't sleep past 3. So at 3, I knew that it was like my alarm because of the wind and the cold. So I used to wake up and then I start reading. I start reading every day, every day. So every time like that, I continued like that. I put in the work. And by then, by the time I'm finishing now my 8th grade, I was the top student now in our school. So now my mother started believing and seeing that, yeah, there's some hope here. There's some hope here. And that particular time is also the time that I gave my life to this. I did this when one of my sisters invited me for like a night vigil. It was like a night service in one of the local churches. So it was a Pentecostal church. So I just went. It was a night vigil, night worship night. So we went. And then, of course, there was an altar call. I gave my life to Christ. I didn't understand much about that, but I just accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then I just began that relationship. I started going to church now every Sunday. And then from there, of course, I just found this peace. Now I'm excelling in school, and then also I'm finding this inner peace from God. So it was really a really perfect time for me. And of course, I passed now my final years, and I was able to join high school. I passed. I was able to join university. I also passed with good grades. And I really thank God for that. But one of the pivotal moments is that even through my testimony, because now it was one thing to pass your exams to go to the next level, maybe even high school, but it was another thing for you even to find now even money to pay for your school fees. But God was just working in miraculous ways. So my dad used to work. He was like a house manager. He used to clean one of the houses of some rich guy. So I think after he finished school, he just asked him, is there anything you want me to do for you after primary school? So this guy said, my dad just said, maybe just pay for his school fees. That's all I need. Even don't even pay me. Just ensure that this guy finishes school. And that is how I was able even to go through school. And now my parents and even my sisters, they usually say that it was like I'm God's favorite child.
Not just mom's favorite, but God's favorite.
Yes, because how that happened, I was able to go through school just like that. Just like that. And I just in hindsight, I just think that was just the hand of God trying to just rescue me from that place. Because most of my high school mates and just my primary school mates, most of them got into drugs, into just like even like they were short. Because that place is a jungle. Kibera is really a jungle. For you to get out of that place and just be sane and be focused, you really need maybe the hand of God and unwavering will to just be different. So yeah, that's what happened until to the point that I was able even to finish university.
Yeah, and people, you know, in North America and Europe may not realize like how deep poverty exists in the slums, you know, just, you know, the things that we take for granted, like lots of electricity or, you know, running water or plumbing in a house or even more than, you know, 2 rooms in the house. And so it's certainly, you know, a powerful thing.
It's crazy because, you know, we were living the 10 of us in one room. Mm. My sisters, me, my father, my dad, and then we had 2 cousins. So we were in the same room. So I used to sleep on the couch and then my sisters on the floor. So all of us, growing through that till your teenage years, you don't know anything about privacy. I slept on my first bed when I finished camp university. That's when I slept on my first bed when I was 21, there 22. Wow. Because all this time of it's crazy. It's really crazy. So yeah, it's some people. Yeah, people should come and just visit and just see the kind of conditions that people live. So for you even to have a mindset of even trusting in God in such levels of poverty, and it's really hard. It's really hard, but yeah.
So how did you get, you know, you're one of our coaches, the, you know, only one outside of the U.S. How did you get connected to this ministry work, to preparing for Amazement, to working with me, to doing these trips? Share a little bit of that story.
Yeah, so, of course, after I went through school, and I just had, of course, this burning desire also to ensure that others that are in the slum don't lose focus. And because I think it's really possible, even if the least they could do is just to be educated. I had this desire just to join any organization, any initiative that was on a mission to go back to the slums and just help any young person to really focus. So that's why I joined a social ministry called Heart to Heart. So I was volunteering there every time I'm free, every, like, most of my days. I used to go there just to go and also encourage other youth that, indeed, I was just like you. You see, I was able to finish school. So it's really possible. And that is when we met now. Because you guys came to visit Kenya and you visited this ministry. And then on I think we were going to show you one of our feeding programs. And then that's where we met, just on the way. And then we started talking. And that was the beginning of this beautiful story. Yes.
Yeah, just a normal conversation, right?
It was just a normal conversation. Hi, so what's your name? What do you do? And then, of course, I resonated with some of the answers because I was asking you some questions. And then I resonated on how you're answering, the simplicity. And then we exchanged contacts. And then we said that, yeah, you can come and train other youths here in Nairobi. And they said, it's possible. Let's keep in touch and see how things go. And then when you went back, you reached out. And then a few months later, we did our first training here in Nairobi.
Yeah, we trained a bunch of youth pastors. I remember that. And I remember walking down that road in the slums and just thinking, boy, there's something to this guy. God's got something in him and him as a leader. And so it's just been fun to watch that. And even on this last trip we did together, you did some of the teaching while I got to sit back and watch, which was really, really cool. So it's been fun to watch your story. What would you say, we talked a little bit about your history and ministry. What's God doing in your life right now? And how can the listeners here who care about church and leader health, how can they be praying for you in this next season?
Yes, so right now I'm going through school, of course, Kairos, and this is really shaping how I'm thinking and how I'm just viewing life. It's really transformative. So the reason why I'm going through this, of course, is one, because I truly believe in the mission of that we are having here, revitalizing the church. Every time we are just teaching, every time we are speaking to these pastors, I really believe that this information is really important, and I really want to be part of that. So in any little way, even if it's creating content, even if it's really teaching, I want to be part of this because I believe it's really urgent for me. So that's what I'm up to now. And also, of course, I have a network I've created. 2 years ago, I started a youth network of over 100 plus youth. So we visit various counties, various towns in Kenya, of course, with the aim of just evangelism and also just to provide some basic needs. So we just fundraise amongst each other. Maybe if you have maybe $5, $2, we contribute. We buy cooking flour. We buy rice. Because it's for here, most of the times, you can't even just preach to people when they're really hungry. So when we go to those towns, we buy food for them, and then we evangelize. And that's what even we are doing. This November, end of this November, we are going to a town that is 400 kilometers from Nairobi. So a bunch of around 50 youths, we are going to do a three-day evangelism in that area. So that's what I'm doing. And also, any viewer that is watching, of course, my greatest dream and prayer, of course, is just to do ministry. So in this form, I intend just to be working and moving around and just, of course, just teaching whatever I'm learning from you, whatever I'm learning from school, in every place that I am at. Because yeah, I believe God has called me to just to, of course, to teach and also to minister, not only to my generation, not only just to this area of Nairobi. And also, I believe that God has called me to go maybe to the ends of the world just to share what he has put in my heart. So that's what I've been up to and I'm working towards. So everyone can help to just to pray about that for the will of God to be done in my life.
Oh, that's awesome. It's been fun to watch. Like I said, you know, it's really a cool story, you know, of what God can do that, you know, here you are, this kid from the largest slum in Africa, one of the poorest places on one of the poorest continents, you know, the poorest continent probably in the whole world. And God not only brought you through that, but is using you, and here you've got to travel and do ministry. And that's such a cool and beautiful thing. And really, it's just been simple obedience and people who've seen something into you and poured into you. And it reminds me really of kind of the theme verse of our ministry, right? From the minor prophet Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to say it with confidence. But, you know, in there at chapter 1, verse 5, that's where amazed 1:5 comes from, preparing for amazement. And it goes like this: look at the nations and watch and be prepared to be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And it just feels to me like that verse is not just what is the basis of our ministry, but is part of the story that God has written and writing in your life.
Yes, I totally believe in that. And also, I just want also to say thank you to you, because you've really poured, of course, yourself, your time to shape me and just to mentor me. Of course, even in times that you see me going wrong, you're always there to tell me that this is the way. So it's been more than even just working for ministry. It's a relationship that we have. We're doing life together, of course. And I'm really learning a lot from you. And I thank God for our paths to crossing. And I believe you are a very critical part, of course, in my story. And I can't wait to where God is taking us. And also just for him to give you strength and grace to do this important ministry of just... I don't know how I can explain to the viewers the feeling or the reaction when you are just when you speak and you're just simply training these pastors, how they feel and how just the energy that comes from that. I wish people could. It's really breathtaking. So I just pray that God may give you more life and grace so that you can really accomplish this mission of revitalizing the church, not only in America but also to the ends of the world. And I want to be part of that, as always, yes.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like I said, it's an honor and a privilege. And I think that, you know, you're right. It's doing life together. It's seeing stuff in one another. And I appreciate all of your work and in the time and in the way that you help me and help organize these trips. And just excited to be able to share a little bit of your life and your story with the listeners. Because I think the thing that gets me out of the bed in the morning is that people are transformed through Jesus. And, you know, when we think about this ministry, wanting to see God do amazing things in pastors and churches all around the world. And so for your part in that and the part of that, that's your story. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's really. And I think most of the times in life I've been asking maybe what's my thing. And I think in the last 2 years I've realized now this is it. I'm feeling it. I can feel like the heaviness and the presence of God every time. Like it's this is it. And of course, it's exciting. It's, of course, it's challenging, but it's worth it. That's all I can say. Yes, it's really worth it.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate that.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. Again, we encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. visit amazed15.org to learn more. Again, we welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org.